Our first scriptures reading today is from the Gospel of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him for the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And now a reading from the Philippines. Do nothing from selfish ambitions or empty conceit, but humility regards others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but of the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought he existed in the form of God. He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking from the slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as human. For the people of God, for the will of God. Amen.
Do you love me? That's rhetorical, okay? You don't have to answer. Thanks. That's the question that Tevye asked his wife of 25 years. His daughters have been pushing him to question the tradition of arranged marriages and to allow them to marry for love. Tevye bends tradition because he loves his daughters. But it makes him take a look at his own marriage and his own arranged marriage. And so he asks his wife, "Do you love me?" It's a romantic question. But after 25 years, love means a lot more than goosebumps and thrills, right? Tevye wants to know on a deeper level what we all want to know. James Baldwin, in his novel, Another Country, writes about a young saxophone player who finds another way to ask that same question. He writes, "The saxophone player took off on a terrific solo. He was a kid from some insane place like Jersey City or Syracuse, but somewhere along the line he had discovered that he could say it with a sax. He had a lot to say. He stood there, wide-legged, filling his barrel chest, shivering in the rags of his 20-odd years, and screaming through the horn, 'Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?' And again, 'Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?' The same phrase, unbearably, endlessly, and variously repeated with all the force that the boy had. Eden Abes wrote in his song Nature Boy, which was quoted in Moulin Rouge, "The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return." That question is at the heart of what it means to be human and to be alive. So Jesus asked the same question in his final encounter with Peter. The resurrected Jesus appears to his disciples one last time and then invites Peter to walk with him along the lakeside before his departure. "Peter," he says, "do you love me?" Not once, three times, as if to make up for the other three times when Peter had denied him. Each time, Jesus uses a different word for the word we translate as love, as if to suggest that the deepest, the broadest sense of love is what he's talking about. Peter is grieved and he's ashamed to be asked three times. But each time he replies, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And each time Jesus replies by saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." For Jesus, love was never a matter of just words. It was always about action. In his Sermon on the Mount, for example, he says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father." Love is best expressed in the choices we make and the things that we do. And in this respect, Tevye, a very common man, shows uncommon wisdom. As the world changes around him and tests the traditions that guide his life, Tevye chooses love over tradition. Tevye chooses love over stability, love over safety. Even when his third daughter, Chava, marries outside the bedrock of his Jewish faith, Tevye finds an even deeper bedrock than his faith in love. This is what I would call the gospel according to Tevye, an uncommon man with uncommon wisdom. In our own lives, that bedrock of love has led us beyond some very, very sad and evil traditions, traditions of discrimination on the basis of color or creed or race or sexual preference or gender. Sometimes even when the institutional church or scriptures were used to justify it, love has led us beyond and deeper to a more foundational rock. It is a profound journey that Tevye is on in Fiddler on the Roof, and each of us is on that same journey as we make our way into a better future. Now, the gospel according to Tevye includes a couple other bits of wisdom. In one scene, when Tevye's oldest daughter is at her wedding celebration, the Russian police come in, vandalize, and break everything up. One of the younger men shouts, "We've got to fight back. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." To which Tevye replies, "Which leaves the whole world blind and toothless." Jesus said, "Those who live by the sword perish by the sword." Violence has a way of begetting more violence. And to illustrate that truth, I need not point any further than today's newspaper. Amen? How can it be that a nation that is filled with the followers of Jesus, like the United States of America, has the largest military budget in the history of the world, and that we right now have the largest military budget the United States has ever had in its history? $1 trillion we're spending on war. And we're now considering raising that budget to $1.5 trillion for next year. Meanwhile, a year after USAID was ended, epidemiologists from Boston University estimate over 700,000 people have died for a lack of U.S. aid. 500,000 of them are children. We are literally trading lives for drones and bombs and missiles. And does this make us feel safer? Surely Tevye's wisdom is needed in the halls of Congress. Amen? A blind and toothless world we're heading toward if we don't stop. One of our great hymns goes like this: "Cure thy children's warring madness, bend our pride to thy control, shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things, poor in soul." And then there's this conversation that Tevye overhears on his milk route. One guy says something and Tevye says, "You know, you are right." Somebody else says the opposite thing. Tevye says, "You know, you are also right." And the third guy says, "Wait a minute, Tevye. How can he be right and he be right?" Tevye says, "You know, You're also right. Which is pretty hilarious. But there is also a deep truth to that. There is a humility and an openness to Tevye that looks at for each person's sliver of truth. No one has all the truth, but everyone has a piece of reality that we need to hear. In India, they tell a story about three blind men and an elephant. Maybe you've heard that. These three blind men come across an elephant. The first one reaches and feels the trunk. He says, "It's a snake!" The next one feels the side of the elephant. Says, "No, it's a wall!" And the third one comes up and hugs around the leg and says, "No, it's a tree!" This is who we are. In some ways, we have blind spots, don't we? We have a narrowness of vision, and we need everybody's vision to get the whole picture. I wish old Tevye could listen into our religious and political debates these days. We are so sure that we have all truth on our side. We gather our information from sources that reinforce that sliver of truth that we cling to. But we need to hear what the other side sees too. If you're like me, you're probably hoping that the midterm elections next November will bring change and accountability to those who are currently in power. But if a blue wave does happen, it would be sad if all that we accomplish is to fix up everything the way it was before all of this big change that came over this recent administration. Because the way things were before was not perfect. In fact, they were broken enough that the other side came into power because of it. We need to find a new way forward that considers the wisdom and the experience of both sides of our political spectrum without dismissing people with insults and isms. The same applies to our churches. In 1650, after the British Isles had been devastated by doctrinal wars, Oliver Cromwell wrote to the Scots in the Scottish church in the north, said, "I beseech you in the bowels of Christ, think it possible that you may be mistaken." The humility to listen with openness to what you hear from both sides, to understand that your sliver of truth is not the whole picture, is uncommon wisdom. And the final chapter of the Gospel according to Tevye. May we all be